Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Gangajan, Thailand, August 2018. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Sarah, Little Hung, Gung, Big Hung, Azita, John, and Tadao.
I think Little Hung is ready to begin with her questions, and I think it relates to what you were just saying about studying the details and what the purpose is, whether it's for oneself or what it's for. Would you like to mention your question?
I understand that although read a lot, listen a lot, but without understanding is useless. But I still think that I need to study detail about nama and rupa, especially the chittasika, because I think that how can the panya can realize the characteristic of reality when it appears without studying it carefully before? I wonder whether is there any chance for the panya can understand the characteristic, for example, of a regret or a stinginess when it appears without studying it in detail before? Do you
any
get
chance?
My meaning? Yeah. If I don't study in detail before, can
panya...
Why
do you want to understand the details? Why do you want to understand the details?
I think it helps panya before to condition panya understand it when it appears.
For the purpose of understanding whatever
yes.
appears.
Yes.
So no matter we read some more Vinodini or any commentaries, or even the Tipitaka itself, just to know that there is no self. That's the point. Not for remembrance or remember that this is that and how this come and what condition this. That's not the way to understand reality right now. But it's just to know more about that. But if you know that no matter you read Tipitaka or commentaries, after that, just to understand that there is no self. That is the point. So many people read Chataka, and they are so very, very interested, enjoyed reading about the different life of the Bodhisattva, just to enjoy oneself about knowing, understanding different story of different lives. But after that, what it said, for the person who knows it, how long before a person or a being can become more and more understanding, understand the truth of life, of that different story of different lives, like now. So just learn to understand what is what and what conditions what. For example, when there are so many akusala moments in the day, it cannot be conditioned for understanding whatever appears. Even reading, we can enjoy reading Tipitaka and commentary. But after that, what's the point? Just enjoyment. But if we got something from each story or chataka or any word in Tipitaka, it's so very, very helpful. Not just to understand for oneself, but to understand that there is no self. Coming back to there is no self. There are only different realities right now. We keep on thinking there are only realities, but that is thinking. But the more we read, the more we can see that no matter in what life, nothing can be done by conditions only, even right now. So no matter what chataka we have read or what word we have read in Tipitaka, just condition right understanding there is no self. Not I. Talking about ayatana, just to know, in order that it can be conditioned for direct understanding right now. From hearing, intellectual understanding, there can be moment of conditioned satipatthana. Not at will. No expectation. Otherwise, it's I who study and who just want to know more.
So you mean that the purpose of studying just to understand the nature of what is appearing now?
Just from
just that
the first word, Dhamma, everyone knows what Dhamma means. Everything is Dhamma. But that's not enough. To know Dhamma is not just hearing the word and understanding the meaning, but now it's a Dhamma, each moment. And without hearing, considering, understanding more and more that actually, no matter we talk about Ayatana or Patichasamuppada or whatever, just to condition the understanding more and more that actually there's no self at all. That's all. Otherwise, we follow their words with attachment, just wanting to understand this or that, forgetting that no matter we read from the Tripitaka or commentary, it's just about now. But not just to remember the words, but to understand the nature of it, like seeing the eye base and that which appears. Because it's like a proof for everyone who study whether how much there are moments of understanding that now there is only visible object, period.
The important point is that if one thinks, for example, one should remember how many citta seekers arise with this akusala citta or that akusala citta in order to recognize it when it arises here, actually without knowing it, one is studying for oneself because one would like to know or one would like to understand or catch the reality now, like regret or vichikicca or whatever. So it's not, so the lobha is there, but one doesn't realize it when one's studying. So the purpose of studying isn't just to know all the details and remember how many citta seekers arrives so that one can recognize it now. That's not the purpose. Because it's not the understanding of Dhamma as anatta. It's actually the taking it for my akusala that I would like to know or recognize or understand.
For example, the seeing consciousness, how many citta seekers are there? Okay, seven. And what do you know about that? Just a moment. Only one moment with seven jitasikas. The other moments before this, more. And the moments after this, more jitasika. So it's just only a moment. But it seems like all day long. We don't know that which comes after at all. No matter it's like or dislike or ignorance or whatever, from seeing, and then after that it brings more and more other jittas. By understanding this, one can see that one is lured by ignorance all the time to make what appears as something permanent all the time. That's why just seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching should be known. Because the citta before that and the citta after that cannot be known. Who knows? The panchatavara vachana or the sampatichana santirana, even seeing right now is not known yet. So it's not just a matter of understanding that there are seven jetasikas, but why? Just for one moment of seeing by kamma, see, condition it to experience pleasant or unpleasant object, depending on kamma. But it brings attachment, aversion, and lots of thinking about it as different things in life. I am sitting here, and I see many things around, see, from just one moment of seeing. So just one word, like seeing consciousness with seven jetasikas, can bring more understanding of not-self. Begin to see in order to not being so much attached, gradually, little by little, because one is so attached in a day. So, no question about when will it happen or any chance or opportunity, because Panya knows it cannot be such moment without the conditions like intellectual understanding so firm as Satyayana. Like now, see? Any understanding of seeing, what are you seeing? So just one word is Pariyati, and that object can be object of Patipatti when time comes only. And after that, it can be Paptiveta of such one thing right now, naturally.
I think when we were discussing this yesterday, you were talking especially about studying about the different jetasikas or mental factors, wholesome and unwholesome. Is there a particular reason why you mention those realities? Because there are many realities, aren't there? Not just the mental factors.
I think almost time on the day, thinking appear with akusala. When we see, after a short moment of seeing, I think that the bad result of karma. For example, when last night I couldn't sleep all night. So I think that a bad result, bad karma. Almost thinking on on the days. So I think I need to study the characteristic of akusala cittasika. So I can differentiate the akusala citta. Beside the moments of seeing, thinking, or beside the moment of seeing, hearing.
And any reason why you want to differentiate the akusala citta from the others?
Any reason? I think the main reasons is to, first, I think it can, if I study more, it make sanya become strong. So I, you know, when there is
a, right?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
Wanting more understanding.
Well, I think when understand, when there is a chance for understanding appear, they can understand the characteristic of the akusala cittasika, of the akusala citta, what I studied before. But now I think become more clearer after Achan and Sarah's explanation. Because it make a stronger the idea of self want to.
If one wants to try and catch the reality or wants to try and know what appears now, for sure it's clinging to self. And at night time when you're not sleeping and there's a lot of thinking, is this the result of karma? Because you said all this not sleeping and all this thinking is a result of karma, but is that the result of karma?
Just thinking.
Just thinking by accumulation.
Mm.
So it's not the result of karma. So in deep sleep, the citta is the result of karma, or seeing or hearing is the result of karma. But the thinking with akusala cetasikas, the thinking is not the result of karma. So one can't say that all that being awake and thinking and agitation is the result of karma. It's the habit, the accumulation to think like that, to think about other different objects, to think in wholesome and unwholesome ways, mostly, as you said, with in an unwholesome way, not the result of karma. It's the condition we mentioned before, the paktu upanisya pachya, the natural decisive support condition, the accumulation of habits and tendencies, thinking of this object, thinking of that object, remembering what was done, thinking about anything.
So may I say something like this? Reading the book, reading the detail of the like citta, sika, or whatever the reality is, I think there's nothing wrong with that, but the point is about reading about the what reality is to understand that no self at all, on each reality is it in the written in the book, right? Writing in the book, not for getting more knowledge, getting more conventional understanding. It's just that is the reality, is no self at such reality is talking about in the in sutta or in the commentary.
And we had a discussion yesterday about the meaning of study. So some people think that study means how many books one has read, or whether one has learnt Pali, or whether one has memorized how many citta seekers arise with each citta. They think that this is pariyatti understanding or a study, and they think they need more time, and they think that it's an obstacle to such study if one has to take care of one's family or go to work. But this is not the meaning of study as taught by the Buddha. The meaning of study has to be right now, no matter one's with one's family or one's working or one's preparing food. There's seeing now, hearing now, thinking now. Is there any understanding? Even when looking at the details or the chart of the different citta seekers arising, what about the understanding of citta right then? Otherwise, it's just book knowledge, but it's not actually the beginning of study in daily life. So it might be obvious when people go to a temple and follow a ritual or follow a meditation practice that this is not study or this is not the right way because it's following a ritual. But if we have the idea that the more we study the book, the more details we memorize, the more Pali we learn, that there will be more understanding. This is also the wrong practice, because there's no understanding right now. No understanding of Dhamma as anatta right now.
About the right now. So even seeing now or hearing now, it seemed to be understood, but actually it's not. It's just very little, very little.
Not yet understanding, but there are consideration of what
the beginning of understanding.
Like with our Swiss friend the other day, beginning to understand that actually seeing isn't understood now, that actually at this moment there is seeing, and it just sees what is visible. It doesn't see yellow shirt and white shirt and different chairs. It just sees what is visible, and beginning to appreciate that actually it's unknown, this ignorance right now. This is the beginning of study.
I think we talk about many time about karma. And somehow the karma conditions for some realities to be arise. Can you talk a little bit more about how what karma condition to be arise right now, like seeing, hearing, what kind of rupa can arising?
So karma conditions, cittas, citta seekers, and rupas. So right now, the seeing, the hearing, the smelling are conditioned by past karma, and the citta seekers that arise with those cittas, the concentration, the contact, the jivitindriya, the life faculty, the citta seekers arising with those cittas conditioned by the same condition, so by karma also. And we've discussed how in deep sleep the bhavanga cittas are conditioned by karma, but no deep sleep now, but in between the process, the different sense door processes and the mind door processes, actually there are bhavanga cittas, but not known now. And after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, we discussed there are two more vipaka cittas, but not apparent. If there's no understanding of seeing, there's not going to be any understanding of the other
cheetahs, but they're also conditioned by karma. And then at each moment in life, different groups of rupas are conditioned by karma. Like without eye sense, the eye sense group of rupas conditioned by karma at each moment. There couldn't be any seeing of what is visible. So eye sense has to have been conditioned. If there's no eye sense, no seeing. And the same for the other senses and other rupas that are conditioned by karma. For example, the heart base. It doesn't matter what we call it, but for apart from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching, all the other cheetahs in this life have to arise at a base. They have to have a support. And this is from the very first moment of life. This life, there has to be the heart-based group of rupas arising and falling away to support those cheetahs. Masculinity, feminine, femininity groups of rupas. So very specific. So if we just say generally, I'm not sleeping well because of karma, or this is kind of conventional language, but to be specific, we have to be more precise.
So at the first moment of rebirth, the karma condition, the rupa and citta, patisanti citta and citta-sika at the same time, right, arise at the same time. But during lifetime, yes, but during lifetime, the rupa, like the heart base or an eye, ear base, must arise before the citta. Is that correct?
So if we talk about heart base, at every other time it must have arisen prior to the citta to condition that citta to rise. But the first moment of life, the patisandhi citta rises result of karma, and three groups of rupa only arise at that moment. No eye base at that moment, right. Just the body sense group of rupas, the heart base group of rupas, and the masculinity or femininity, yes, group of rupas, they arise at that same moment.
Yes.
Also conditioned by karma.
So back to that, at the moment of birth, like patisanti citta, there's rupa arising with patisanti citta. Is that, you know, I read out those five rupas that arise only once, not, they don't last in the 17. So jati and jara. Jati is the birth one, isn't it? So when patisanti citta arises, there's three rupas that arise at the same time but fall away the same as patisanti. No?
The stages of rupa that you mentioned, actually they're the... Forget about the vachi, okay, and the kaya vinyati, because they don't arise at that moment at all. They're conditioned by citta later. But the characteristic of rupa to arise and stay and fall away is a characteristic of every rupa. So even at that first moment of life, each rupa has an arising and a staying and a falling away. Actually, we can just talk about the arising and falling away of rupas.
But it doesn't last. It doesn't last the 17 moments.
The rising of the rupa just is one quick sub-moment of that rupa.
But her question is about rupa that arises.
With the patisanti citta.
Yes.
So yeah, that's
the rupa lasts for 17 moments, the equivalent of 17 moments of citta. So at the moment of patisandhi citta, those three groups of rupa, the citta falls away in one moment, but the rupas in those groups last for the equivalent of 17 cittas. And the next moment, the bhavanga citta after the patisandhi citta, more groups of rupas are conditioned, but each of those rupas lasts for 17 moments. So the many rupas being conditioned.
So, okay, back to those five, the vachi and gaya, that's one. But it also had three others in that group, jati, jara, and anicca, anicca.
So, for example, if let's take the heart-based group of rupas that arises at the first moment of life. So that Hadiyavatu, for example, it lasts for, the Hadiyavatu rupa itself lasts for 17 chittas, but that rupa itself arises and falls away. So these are the characteristics of each rupa. So that rupa lasts for 17 chittas, or 3 times 17, 51 sub-moments. So the arising moment of the rupa is one sub-moment, and the falling away of the rupa is one sub-moment, and the 49 sub-moments is the lasting of the rupa, but so quickly.
Mm.
So it's a, just the characteristic of each rupa. But that's why the arising of the rupa, we cannot say it lasts 17 moments, because it's just one sub-moment of the of that rupa. Just like now, just like any rupa now.
I'm really confused now.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Is that the moment of Patisandhijitta, regular rupas, if I can put it that way?
Just like now.
That lasts for 17 moments of chitta.
Okay, so my question must be then, what is
jati when it says those, you know, in those, it's five rupas?
Characteristic of.
It's a characteristic
of every rupa. So there's a moment of jati also.
And what do you mean by five?
Well, I read out from the Abhidhammata Sangaha in. With the exception of the five rupas, namely vinyati, jati, jara, and anicchata, all the remaining 23 rupas endure for 17 thought moments. So my question is, what? I think you answered the one on vinyati. You know, it does arise in a group of the rupas, but it only lasts.
That's why we have to study just one word at a time to understand clearly.
Right. Well, that's why I'm trying to find out what jati and jara mean.
How many group of rupas arise with the Patisandhijitta? How many?
How many
groups?
Three.
What are they?
It's heart-based.
Okay.
It's either male or female, and one other.
See, if we
Gaya,
don't...
Body.
Yeah, just understand each word so that we will not forget when we talk about anything. So, are they Kamachrupa?
Are they? Yes, they are.
They are Kamachrupa.
Kamachrupa.
And as soon as it has arisen, it will say for how long? It will last for how long?
Well, that's where I'm a bit confused. I would,
no,
I would. Okay. Well,
reality must be reality.
17 moments.
Yes, it has to be like that. Never change. When it's the what you call the rupa, sabhava rupa.
Always 17.
Supava Rupa, how many of them? They're all together, how many rupas?
Eight, I think.
All together.
All together. 28 rupas.
And how many rupa with sabhava?
Just eight.
18.
See, we have to be precise with understanding, otherwise we just remember the term and the word, but not really understand the difference between each reality as it is.
The rupas, the sabhava rupas, are the rupas
with characteristics that can be known, like hardness is sabhava rupa. It has a characteristic that can be known. But we were talking on the walk about akasa rupa, space. It doesn't have a characteristic that's apparent. It's a rupa that divides the groups of rupas, so it's asabhava rupa. So most rupas are sabhava rupas, 18 rupas that have characteristics that don't depend on something else that can be known. The akasa rupa depends on the groups of other rupas for its arising. And those characteristics that you just mentioned of the three characteristics of rupa, they are characteristics of rupa. They're not sabhava rupas.
The ones I've just...
Yes.
But the space, the rupa, can be known by anya, right?
So you say that the space rupa has no characteristic to be known.
That is readily apparent.
If we're talking about the Buddha's insight or the Arahat's great wisdom, then any reality can be known.
Yes.
But for us, only sabhava rupas yes. can be known.
Yes.
So the
all the rupas, apart from these five asabhava rupas that you mentioned, they all last for 17 moments. So the three groups of rupas, all those rupas, each one lasts for 70 moments. That's why on Saturday we said, for all intents and purposes, each rupa lasts for 17 moments. We mentioned the Vacchi and Kaya Vinyati. They are exceptions. They're not sabhava rupas. We can talk more about them later. But these stages of rupa, these other three asabhava rupas, actually they're just stages of rupas. So they're characteristic or aspects of rupa. That's why each rupa has these aspects. So that's why each aspect cannot last for 17 moments. The arising, the jati of rupa can only last for one instant, one sub-moment. And the death of the rupa can only be for one sub-moment.
I think I'm understanding a bit more now.
That for the arising moment, one moment of rupa arise for one moment of citta, and the what you call zara, one moment. So the moment of the left is 15 moments of.
Yes, but actually, it's even more precise, because in fact you can say that each rupa lasts for 17. Moments, but if you look at sub-moments, actually it's 51. So in fact, the arising is just one sub-moment, 51th. So, but it doesn't.
Okay.
The detail isn't important, but just
to
be accurate. But that's why you cannot say the sub-moment lasts for 17 chittas. That's the point. So this is the reason why. But if you're talking about the groups of rupas that arise at birth, the heart-based group or the body-sense group of rupas, each of those rupas lasts for 17 moments.
Yeah. Also about rupa, last night we had a discussion about the rupa, which is breath, the breath. So I would, yes, it is a bit complicated because I, normally for sound, it is conditioned by temperature. But for the rupa, which is breath, it is... we discussed yesterday, in some moments, for example, we try to breathe with attention, like a sigh, for example, like this.
Then now, naturally.
Yeah, so it is conditioned by citta. Is that correct?
Even while one is talking, reading, walking, anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for when we breathe normally, so what is...
Right now before you talk?
Yeah.
It's normally.
Yeah, but what is conditioned by...
Citta.
Also citta.
Breath itself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
The sound of the breath.
Sorry. The sound of the breath.
The sound is the sound of the breath, no matter what sound of what.
So it's the sound is must be conditioned by temperature. So it's different.
If it's sound, it must be by temperature or by citta. Like now, when speaking, the sound, the intimation, the Vacchi Vinyati is conditioned by the citta, but there must be temperature also conditioning sound.
The Buddha was
very amazing.
We are talking about the 17 citta. Or
No.
Yeah, okay. I just ask about whether the moment of the citta arises for every person is the same. I mean, the appearance of the citta is same.
The length,
because we are talking about seven rupas arise. Let's say it lasts 17 time of the citta, right? It on per person. We are talking about the rupa in per person or rupa in general. Because if rupa in general, then the moment of the citta of each person should be same.
So your question is.
Your question is whether the length
of citta is always exactly the same, no matter what, for everyone.
And the answer is?
I don't know.
We talk about the absolute reality. There's no one there at all.
Yeah.
Nobody can change anything because it just itself.
It's just the nature of citta. So citta here, citta there, citta has to be just exactly as it is. So lobha citta has to be just that way and that length. So actually it doesn't belong to anyone. They're not any people's cheetahs.
So the arising and falling away of the rupa out there are also same.
Never change. No one can change the absolutely realities.
Because this morning we are talking about time, so in Sasuke, if the scientists can do something like the moment of the cheetah, then they can monitor the exactly what I don't know.
I think several times you've mentioned the possibility in the future of scientists being able to do something about citta, but I don't think scientists can even measure consciousness.
Okay. Because too quick.
And why do you think about science when you talk about the highest understanding of the Buddha?
Uncomparable.
Yes. Yeah. Keep on thinking about a thing, whether that's true or not. What about the words of the Buddha?
Can science measure or know seeing?
Can you repeat the question?
Can science measure or detect seeing?
No. May not.
Hearing?
It needs conditions for them.
Hmm?
I don't know, but let's say.
Do you think science can measure or detect seeing?
You mean detach, right? Detach or attack?
Measure or detect.
Detect the seeing.
Can it measure or detect seeing? Can you?
Yes.
Science.
No, seeing, right?
Yeah.
Seeing. No. It on the rupa right now, like a photographer on the rupa. No.
Or hearing? Or thinking? No. It doesn't have any way of detecting, even.
I just want to clarify the point that Pan
brought up. So we know any sound outside the body, like the sound of the waterfall, the sound of the birds, is conditioned by
uttu,
temperature. And her question was about, for example, what we conventionally call breath, not the reality of breath. Of course, if we deliberately make a noise, then at that moment the rupas are conditioned by citta. But if it's not any deliberate thing, but just someone is sitting here and what we conventionally say, breathing noisily, but not by any intention,
Can we say those rupas are conditioned by citta or by uttam?
Well, when it's fast asleep or deep
can
sleep.
Can make a noise.
Yes. Does it condition breath?
Yes.
Yes, so yes. No doubt about
so it. But the noise that is made...
The
is
noise
not,
is the noise.
Yes, so the noise, for example, in deep sleep that is made, that noise
No,
is
not necessary, because you see that even now, if it condition sound... There must be sound of breath all the time.
Yes, yes. But if it is that sound, which like in deep sleep, because it's not by any intention, then it's just sound that's conditioned by temperature, because it's not by any intention. That's the point. So if you
deliberately, it's
conditioned by citta, but if it's just kind of a noise, like someone who's asthmatic and there's just a kind of a noise there, then it's conditioned by temperature, like in deep sleep.
Because actually, what is the breath? Not the sound.
No.
See? The breath is the breath.
And it's not what we conventionally call the breath. This is not the breath, yeah.
Let's say the sound, I say Ajahn talking about something, right? And I hear. I hear...
You
okay,
hear
the
what?
Hearing here.
The hearing here is what?
Sound.
Only sound.
And the condition by the temperature as well.
It doesn't matter at all, because sound can be conditioned by temperature or by citta. Only two conditions.
For example, now when hearing sound. Well, it's just sound. There's no, at that moment of hearing, there's no knowing what the sound is conditioned by, no thinking about it.
Okay.
But actually, as it happens, the sound itself must have been conditioned. Like now, this sound must have been conditioned by citta, because I'm speaking, or another sound by temperature. But actually, at the moment of hearing, it's not breath, it's not anything, birds, it's just sound that's heard.
I still don't understand the reality of breath.
You call it breath, but what is it? You just call it breath. But what reality is there? Is there any reality or no reality at all? You just call it breath?
It is rupa.
Why do you call it rupa?
It's like a movement.
Because it's not just to name this is rupa and this is nama. But why do you say that it's rupa?
You cannot experience anything. And it's the produced by citta at that moment. Cittara rupa.
How do you know that?
Because it is there like a body in intimation.
So beside breath, we have the heart, liver, a lot of component inside our body still working without any knowing. So it's still conditioned by citta, same kind of breath as well, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
you call it liver and kidneys and all the, but actually there are just many groups of rupa in the body, and the groups of rupa in the body, as we discussed last night, can be, each group of rupas can be conditioned by citta, karma, nutriment, or temperature. So it depends. Outside the body, each group of rupas is only conditioned by temperature, but the groups of rupa in the body are conditioned by any of these four. Like we said, the I sense group is conditioned by karma. Other groups conditioned by nutriment. If there's no eating or feeding, those groups don't arise. And temperature, like at the first moment of life, there has to be temperature in those groups of rupa, and the temperature conditions other groups of rupa. And citta, like we said, the breath, the real breath, not the one we think of as breath, is conditioned by citta. And Jonathan gave some examples on the walk of groups of rupas conditioned by citta, like when one's blushed or when one's angry, and it affects one's speech or anything.
Actually, I'm not quite clear about the breath, the reality of the breath.
It appears now.
Really?
Really? What appears now?
It arises, but it's not...
I'm still alive.
It's, no, but it is not. It doesn't appear. It is arise and falling away, and it's not experienced by Panya yet.
You're alive now, so there must be heartbeats arising and falling away, or Jivitindriya, but do they appear? Are they? Can they be known now? Is anything known about heartbeats now, or life faculty, Jivitindriya? Or just only by thinking or book knowledge? Is heart-based experience now? No. Is breath experienced now?
Is it conventional?
Yes. The breath that's reality is conditioned by jitta and it is not known. And so I think even I go to yoga classes and they get us to beginning of yoga, you sit and watch the breath, and they call that anapanasati, which is so wrong. It's not at all. It's just breathing, so, you know, conventional breathing. So but it's not the breath that's conditioned by jitta.
That it's all... Not know the reality of breath.
Well, it can be known...
some state,
like the Buddha knew it,
okay,
and probably arahats maybe know it, but no, it's very, very, it's the most difficult of all of the meditation subject.
Can you take the microphone when you speak?
It's the most difficult of all the meditation subjects, but for some reason, probably because there is conventional breath, a lot of centers say sit and concentrate on the breathing. Why? Why? The real breath.
I understand that we cannot experience the reality of breath, such as the reality of heart base, or the when there's no conditions for understand it. Okay. No, usually for to wonder about that.
But so, what is breath? Finally, what is the breath?
I think that without the conditions for Panya arise to understand the characteristic of that kind of reality, we cannot know.
Yeah, we cannot know. I agree that.
Because right now we are talking about many things that we haven't known anything yet, right? Like seeing is arise and falling away but not appear at its E. We're talking about it to know that. No cell at all. And about breath as well. Ajahn asking, so what breath is? So Hang talking about that, the rupa. Something like that. So what it is after discussion?
It's for you.
Do you mind calling it breath? Do you mind calling it breath?
It's not necessary.
So?
Yes, it's the concept.
What is the reality of it?
The reality.
What is the reality of breath? It's a big question.
Like, we are talking about the walking.
No.
Forget about
other things. Okay. Just breath.
Okay. I think just the concept. Just the concept.
No reality.
That the reality is...
and
that
what
reality,
is the reality of breath?
Arise by condition, rupa is the condition by citta.
But why do you call it breath? And what is its reality? Just to have understanding in order to become detached from taking it as something very important or as I am breathing. This is the point of understanding anything.
So in conventional meaning is keep getting the oxygen to the cell.
That is the story.
The story, yeah. Okay.
Just breathe, what is it?
It's rupa.
What rupa?
What rupa I see, right? Actually, I don't know many kind of
See, otherwise we think that we understand the word, but that is not enough because it's not really understanding at all. But when we heard about any word and Buddha realized the true nature, the characteristic of it, in order to see that it cannot be taken for self or me or mine at all, this is the point, to understand more and more, even breath, because usually I breathe, see, or my breath, see, but actually what reality is there.
Through which doorway is it experienced?
I think the body.
So it's Nama, not Rupa.
See? She said it. The experience.
I think that it's good to know that how much one knows or understand the teachings or realities. We might think that we understand a lot, but actually even just few words can be the reminder to see whether that is the understanding, real understanding or not. Or just believe, or just remember.
So breath conditioned by F.
So talking about the breath, yesterday we talked that breath conditioned by...
No,
how many
what is breath?
Okay. Breath. It's not the nama because it's conditioned by the citta and
is that the reason?
It's the rupa. I think it's the rupa.
Say it again. Why do you say or think that it's rupa?
It's conditioned by thinking.
But what is the characteristic of breath?
The breath itself not experiencing.
What characteristic is it? Is there which cannot experience?
Yeah, breath itself cannot experience.
So
anything.
What is it?
It's rupa.
What kind of rupa?
How many kind of rupa is it? I have no idea.
There are 28 rupas.
Oh, 28. A temperature. It has to be 8 plus.
You already said it's experience through the body door, didn't you? So
yes.
You can rule out visible object and all those others.
Mm.
So you go through all the rupas.
Okay.
The whole
28. Hardness, softness, cold, heat.
Motion.
Yeah. Pressure.
Okay. So it must be one of these.
Through
the body sense.
It should be motion.
Motion or the temperature.
Motion plus temperature. We also feel the heat. No, okay, not. Motion.
Are there more rupas? Not only three, which can be experienced.
I think nhiệt độ là gì nhỉ? Hot and cold and
John, are you asking about body sense or generally?
I asked about, are there only three rupas, that is breath, or more rupas than that?
Of course, it includes the eight, the eight rupa, eight inseparable rupa.
But only one can be experienced at a time, see?
Yes.
Even there is smell or whatever, the other rupa, it cannot be experienced through body sense. But it must be there, together,
Only
inseparable. No matter what, which is experienced as that which cannot experience, must have at least eight rupas together. Just to know that rupa is rupa, and it does not belong to anyone at all. It's conditioned, it arises and falls away, that's all. But different rupas have different conditions. And what can be known according to the individual's panya. For example, the sammasnayana, the experiencing with vipassanayana, which sees the rupas in kalapas, with akasa in between.
I don't know, I understand right or wrong. You just explained that a kind of understanding somebody, and they can understand the group of rupa. They can understand that kind of, yeah, that's all. So for us, we just know about breath, just include eight inseparable rupa, and just one characteristic appear at a time, just in order
for
to
everyone,
understand,
for everyone,
in order to understand no breath, and no self in breath, that's all.
That's why Buddha taught all he knew from his enlightenment for those who can understand it, like few leaves in his palm. But he knew more than that, much more unexpectedly. So we learn to understand very carefully about not self. Even breath is not self because it's conditioned by citta. That which has no citta cannot have breath at all, right? So breath is just like the eight rupas, inseparable rupa, but the condition is citta. Like other kalapa, which is conditioned by citta, even touching here, who knows what kalapa is conditioned by citta and what kalapa is conditioned by utu, and what kalapa is conditioned by ahara. So Buddha taught us to understand, to learn little by little, that there's no self at all. Just to know, not just to want to experience, because it depends on conditions, no matter how much you will know later, because of your accumulation to be such moment. And the others, as they have accumulated, to be such moment. But the truth is the truth. So he taught as much as anybody can understand about rupas and namas, citta, cetasika, rupa. But it doesn't mean that you try so hard to know or to experience. It depends on conditions. Even breath can be known, but not at level of Sariputta or other Mahāpāda. Savaka.
In terms of the rupa, for example, with taste, like now, it's also come from the eight inseparable.
There must be at least eight rupas together. No matter what appears, there must be other with it, but they cannot be experienced because only one characteristic can be experienced at a time.
One characteristic, it come from in eight
not in
factors.
It's they are all there together, inseparable. No one can separate sound from hardness. No one can separate taste from hardness at all. But at moment of touching, the other rupa cannot appear, but they are there.
Okay.
All together, at least.
Like smell, then in such case, the rupa of smell will be experiencing.
Smell is
experience. Oh, so the odor is experience.
The odor.
Smell is experience. But that smell, that odor rupa, it couldn't arise unless it was supported by seven other rupas arising with it in that group.
So like at the moment of tasting, only flavor can be experienced. And it be conditioned by other seven rupas, inseparable rupas.
That's why there are four primary rupas. Without these four, the other rupa cannot arise at all, no matter what.
And that's why each odor is different, each flavor is different, because of the nature of the different primary rupas in particular and the other rupas in that group, like the hardness. It's not always the same. The temperature isn't the heat or cold is not the same. So it depends on those other rupas, what flavor it is or what kind of odor it is.
Primarily, it's from four primary rupa, right? And it generates to all the things.
All other rupas depend on those four riper primary rupas are derived from them.
Okay, okay.
And always eight rupas in any group. And if it's, for example, like the sound outside, there must be the eight rupas plus the extra rupa, the sound. Or if it's the sound which is spoken, there must be the eight rupas plus the sound plus the intimation, the verbal intimation to the Vachi Vinyati to make that sound. So then there must be at least 10 rupas. So always 8, but can be more.
The two extra rupas also come from 8 rupas, a unseparable rupa as well. But it's, let's say, the more.
Let's say they all are derived from the four primary rupas. And then there is always a group of 8. And then depending on the nature of the group of rupas that is arising, like we said at birth, one of the groups is the heart-based group. So there must be the 8 indivisible rupas plus heart-base in that group. So it depends on each group how many there are. And Azita and I in the van coming down, so in the case of Kaya and Vachi Vinyati, so for example at the moment of speaking there, the 8 rupas plus the sound plus the Vachi Vinyati, and all those rupas apart from the Vachi Vinyati last as long as 17 chitas, but the Vachi Vinyati just lasts 1 chita and falls away. So this means the group that started with 10 rupas after the Vachi Vinyati has fallen away actually is a group of 9 rupas.
Is that correct, Ajahn?
9 rupas?
Because the group, when speaking, has 10 rupas with the sound and the Vachi Vinyati, but the Vachi Vinyati just lasts for 1 chitta and falls away. But the other rupas in that group last for 17 moments.
Yeah.
So then after the Vachi Vinyati is fallen away, then only...
When we talk about the rupa lasts for 17 moments, it has to be that.
Right, yeah. Yes.
No matter with what moment chitta is there.
So each moment, so that moment, so one chitta is a group of 10, next chitta group of 9, so... Everything depends on conditions and can't be any other way.
So what about this spaced rupa? Is it the derived rupa from the primary four great element also?
Every other rupa, so 28 rupas altogether. So all apart from the four primary rupas, all the other 24 rupas are derived rupas depend on the four primary rupas.
Okay.
And there are the conditioned space and the unconditioned space.
Can you So what you're talking about is the conditioned akasa rupa. So this is the rupa that arises and falls away between the groups of rupas, between the kalapas of rupas. So if it separates the kamaja rupas, then it depends on those rupas for its arising. And this is the rupa that arises and falls away and is conditioned depending on those groups of rupas it separates. But there is also the other kind of akasa rupa, I think we mentioned on the walk, the space out there. And this one is the unconditioned akasa rupa. So usually we say there's only one reality, Nibbana, which is the unconditioned reality. But actually there is the unconditioned akasa rupa also.
Okay, at home.
I think Siddhartha's being very patient.
He's been waiting for several days to ask more about Sampajanya, so we can discuss that more. Lunch.
For this trip, I have only one question. That is
Sampajanya. Yeah.
And for me, explaining sati is not difficult. It's not often, but sati arises. Some sati seems to arise. Though it's not sharp sati, it's sort of awareness of this moment. But sati ought to be accompanied by sampajanya. I do not understand the characteristic of sampajanya. Because for me, no characteristic appears. Characteristics of reality appears, which means that my sati is not accompanied by sampajanya. And my question is, why there is such term as sampajanya? When you have the term panyaya, then panyaya is good enough. Why there ought to be a sort of synonymous term for panya, which is sampajanya? Why there is such term as sampajanya? What's its characteristic? What does it do? It's my question.
How many kinds of panya, or many levels, or many degrees of panya?
As far as my panya is concerned, it's lowest level.
Can it grow?
I cannot let it grow.
No,
it
cannot,
ought to
but
grow.
Can it?
Well, it ought to be. It has
Otherwise,
to.
How can there be enlightenment if there is no higher degree of panya?
But I do not force my panya to grow. It's not something I can do.
Nothing.
Yeah.
No one can do anything at all. So when we talk about realities, they are absolutely realities, no one there at all. So we have to understand the characteristic of right understanding, no matter we call it panya or not. But at that moment, it's understanding correctly, rightly, of that which appears as it is. So at the moment of hearing about seeing, it brings a little understanding about it's conditioned. No one can make it arise. It arises to see, that's all. And this is right understanding. We don't have to use the word panya or jnana or whatever, but it is the understanding. But when there's more understanding, it's still understanding, but it's more than just that. So we have to use another word to see, understand the difference between the beginning and the developing. That's why there are many, many words for right understanding. It can be panya or jnana or vipassana. See? Another word is sampajanya. If there is no intellectual understanding at all, can there be understanding at moment of touching? What's there? Usually it's a cup or table or chair, but at moment of understanding the characteristic as nothing but hardness. What condition such moment? There must be hearing, understanding a lot, which can condition that moment as anatta. No one is there. It cannot be induced by thinking, considering, or trying how much so hard is there, because all understandings must come from understanding that there is no self, anatta. So at moment of touching without any understanding, that cannot be sampajanya. That can be only body consciousness which experience hardness and take it for something later. This is what's going on in life from day to day. But after hearing, not enough conditions to touch with understanding. Because at right now, how many jetasikas arising with citta, falling away all the time, unknown. Even sati is there at moment of understanding. No understanding of sati as sati at all, because it does not appear. So all realities which are not experienced are unknown, arising and falling in darkness of avicca, ignorant, even is there. Only panya at higher level, which can directly experience an object with understanding unexpectedly, because each moment must be anatta. So higher understanding goes with anatta, a little, more and more, little by little. Otherwise it's useless to experience with the idea of I'm trying, I know, it's me that's wrong, because panya cannot be wrong at all. It understands reality as not self. So if someone hear about hardness, tangible object, at each moment of touching, it's not enough to be conditioned for sampajanya to arise with sati, because panya is there. So panya cannot be wrong when sammasati is there. Panya knows that no self, no one at all. And that is sampajanya. At the beginning of being sampajanya, it has to continue so much before more panya can develop on and on, until what Buddha said is true, each word. Now, reality arises and falls away. No doubt about that. And that is sampajanya. That's why when we talk about the pariyatti, intellectual understanding, which will condition the patipatti, and the patipatti condition pativeda. In other words, while listening, there is a little understanding from time to time before it can be satyayana, to know that all are dhammas, no matter we talk about breath or whatever. And the satyayana condition, kichayana, the moment of sati with sampajanya, panya of that level. And that will bring the katayana. It's known. It's directly experienced. It appears as it is. So sampajanya is not the intellectual understanding, but the patipatti and the kichayana is the beginning of sampajanya. Sati and sampajanya together.
Yeah, whenever I have satya, satya of a momentary satya, then somehow it's totally wrong. I know it's totally wrong.
And what knows that it's wrong?
Somehow I ask myself.
No. My question is, what knows that it's wrong?
No, what's wrong is that.
No, but what knows?
Oh, it's panya, second right. level of panya.
Right.
But
see,
I
panya, it's not me.
I ask myself why my sampaccha is such a sampaccha of such a low level, because there is no sort of understanding of characteristics. Characteristics never appear. It's kind of naive thinking of this moment.
So why do you say that if no characteristic appears, why do you say there's awareness? Because you said there's awareness, but no sampajanya. So what's the awareness that you're talking about?
Awareness,
if there's no characteristic?
Awareness of this moment. Sort of not like I'm being aware of this moment, but somehow this moment appears.
That's not awareness. Because the object is not the reality.
No,
this moment.
It's a still low-level awareness.
No. Just thinking about the moment.
No, it's kind of thinking, but it's still a low level of awareness.
So what's the object of the awareness?
Awareness of this moment. It's not just the awareness of seeing as seeing or hearing as hearing. Who can have such a precise awareness?
What is it about this moment that there is awareness of?
Yeah, there is a certain level of awareness, just being aware of so-called visual object. Yeah?
Well, then that must...
So-called.
Yeah, because I call so-called, because it's not like precise understanding of reality.
How do you know it's a visual object?
Because it appears as a visual object.
So then it's a characteristic.
It's not like me seeing something. It's
just visible object.
Sort of.
If that's what appears, then that's the characteristic appearing.
Low level, yeah.
So there must be sampajanya.
Yeah. I have no confidence of hearing and sound, no. But seeing and visual object, sort of, I can understand.
Again, when you say that in order for it to be sampajanya, it must be not just satchanyana, but kichanyana, or the direct understanding, patipati. And of course, if we're talking about satipatthana, it has to be the direct understanding of reality. But we were discussing yesterday evening that when we read about sampajanya, actually I think it can also be used in the context of samatha bhavana, or sometimes if one is talking about the four kinds of sampajanya, like sabhaya sampajanya, it can even be just like knowing what is suitable conventionally to drink. So different
so
levels.
So that is not sampajanya, it's the understanding of what sampajanya is.
It's not the sampajanya that is satipatthana,
mm-hmm.
but it's other kind or level of sampajanya.
It's the understanding of what sampajanya is.
What is the understanding?
Like the first sampajanya,
sataka
sampajanya. This is the understanding of the sampajanya.
Yes.
Condition for sampajanya.
Okay, understanding what is the purpose for sampajanya, or sapaya sampajanya, knowing what is suitable for sampajanya to develop, like if one doesn't eat the right food, or if one doesn't have suitable breakfast and one falls asleep, then it's not suitable for understanding. So it's not when they call it like sabhaya sampajanya, actually it's not sampajanya, it's what is suitable for sampajanya to develop then. Okay. And sataka sampajanya, knowing what the purpose is, the right purpose is. Like when studying the details, what is the purpose of studying, knowing what is the purpose in order for sampajanya to develop. Like if one is just trying to memorize and collect the details in order to find the realities, it's not the sattika sampajanya, because it's still the idea for me. So, okay, this is clear.
What is the fourth one?
So the first one is sattika sampajanya, what is the right purpose for sampajanya? Like, what is the purpose of coming here? The purpose of coming here is for the sake of understanding. So that is
Satika.
Satika, Sampajanya, understanding the right purpose. Like some people might come here just for the delicious food or the nice scenery or to try and collect as many details as possible. But that's not the right purpose for the development of Sampajanya. And the next one, Sabhaya Sampajanya, is the knowing of what is suitable for the development of Sampajanya. So, for example, if I eat chilies for breakfast and I'm ill, it's not suitable for development of Sampajanya because I won't be able to hear and consider. So knowing what is suitable.
That's what is the of the sutta, right?
Yes. Suti is suitable. And the, like when the monks ate congee, like we had rice soup for breakfast because easy to digest and not so heavy, so it's suitable for Sampajanya. And the gochara, knowing what is the object for the development of Sampajanya. So why do we talk so much about visible object and seeing? Because visible object is appearing now and there is seeing right now. So by getting used to the life of realities now, such as visible object and seeing, it is the condition for Sampajanya understanding to develop. If we never hear about visible object or we're always thinking about heart base, there will be no conditions for Sampajanya to develop. That's why it always has to come back to this moment. And the last one is Asamoha Sampajanya. So this is the opposite of delusion. So it's stressing the importance of understanding of the opposite of ignorance, of developing understanding of reality now for the development of Sampajanya. Is understanding, panya citta seeker. Yeah. For the last one, Asamoha Sampajanya, so just the seeing the value of understanding for the development of Sampajanya.
And understanding the difference between Sampajanya, which is not Asamoha.
Understanding the difference between when there is understanding and when there is ignorance, like Tadao's question, is there understanding now? Is there awareness now? What is understanding? What is the object that can be known now? This is the asamoha, the opposite of moha, ignorance, for the development of Sampajanya. But I think it also talks about Sampajanya and the development of samatha also, is it?
Just different levels.
Different levels, yeah. So different kind of panya. But now it's talking about what is suitable and the purpose and the object and the opposite of ignorance for the development of Sampajanya and the development of Satipatthana. Yes. And there was one phrase that came up which was...
For example, for Kodra Sampajanya, if you mistake object of Vipassana, of Samatha for Vipassana, that's not Kodra Sampajanya. And when it's not sati, you take it for sati. But when sati is there, you know that it has to be object which is experienced directly, instantly. It doesn't mean that you have to induce, or you have to think, or you have to wait at all. The path leading to right understanding reality is the path of understanding anattaness. It has to go together. Otherwise, it's I all the time who understand or who have sati and so on.
Like on Saturday when someone mentioned, oh, well, this is made up of lots of elements or rupas, and by considering it, there can be calm. But this is not the gotra sampajanya, because for it to be the object of sampajanya, or development of understanding of reality, it has to be reality. So it's not just reflecting in order to be calm or
in order to have lesser kusala, but just for the sake of understanding Dhamma as Dhamma anatta. That's all.
One's
studying the details is just to have less stress in one's life, or more calm, or just to have more knowledge of one's akusala or something like that, then it's not the right purpose, because it's actually still for self.
And when someone thinks that he or she has to develop samatha first before the development of satipatthana is wrong. Not understanding Khojara Sampajanya.
If someone thinks that
there must be understanding of breath, or that breath is something important, then it's not Khojara Sampajanya. It's like selecting an object or being obsessed by an object, giving it some importance, not appreciating whatever reality, even that rupa conditioned by citta, is just a passing rupa of no importance or significance at all. Just Dhamma. So as soon as there's any idea of selecting any object, it's not Khojara Sampajanya or Asamoha Sampajanya.
One phrase
in Pali when we were looking at the text yesterday, Sampajanya Kari, and they translate it Kari as like from karoti or to do.
Or person, the one who has such.
Right.
For example, the one who do is Kara or Kari.
Yes, yeah. So just the one with Sampajanya.
At that moment, it's not anyone, but it's that moment.
Yeah. Yes. But how would you translate that Sampajanya Kari? Like in the English text, they translate it as like the
practice of Sampajanya or the doing of Sampajanya, and it's misleading.
Can we say at the moment of Sampajanya?
Just at the moment of Sampajanya.
It's an agent. Literally, which means one who does Sampajanya. It's a feminine noun.
But when there's the understanding, it actually there's no one. So it's the moment of Sampajanya.
The translation easily mistaken.
Right.
As for Gochara Sampajanya, Gochara usually refer to location or place, yeah? Gochara.
But, like aramana, object, like
the pasture that the cows feed in, the field of experience.
But for monks, Gochara means a place, suitable place to practice Dhamma. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Not the wrong place to get into. But
in here, the Vinaya? Or?
Yeah, Gochara.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here, my question is, that is to refer to sort of a suitable place to live, because in Mangala Sutta, there is one passage which said that living in a suitable place to practice Dhamma is one of the Mangalas, yeah, has highest happiness. And sometimes I think about this passage, because in Japan, literally nobody who understands Dhamma, even basic Dhamma, when I try to say kusala or aksara, no idea. When I say kama, no idea. With baka, no idea. So even the sort of naive conventional understanding, having this conventional knowledge, or even living in a place where everybody has at least such conventional understanding, is, I think, it's a type of gochara. No? You know what I say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Such phrase can bring about right understanding or wrong understanding, depending on understanding.
I think what you're talking about,
for example, if one is surrounded by people who are discussing Dhamma or appreciate what is kusala and akusala,
I think this would be under Sabaya Sampajanya, yeah. Because Gochara Sampajanya, yeah, in this context,
yeah,
refers to the object of understanding, the Aramana of understanding, like Gochara Upanisya. It's the object that there can be accumulated understanding of.
As for Sampajanya, one thing I do not understand is that it's classified into four types. Yeah, but it's from start from a very low level sort of reality to highest level reality of highest level. Yeah, yeah. Why it's necessary to refer to Sampajanya as consist of these four types. Do you know what I mean?
I used to think like that, but now I don't think of it as four types because I think it is just referring to Sampajanya, Panyachetasika, which directly understands reality, and it's talking about what is suitable for that Sampajanya, what is the purpose for it, and what is the object of it, and what is the opposite of delusion at that moment. So it's actually just Sampajanya, the development of Sampajanya, but one can, like now, we can say that listening to the Dharma is suitable for the development of understanding. We can say that visible object or sound are objects that are that can be understood because they appear in daily life, and we can say the purpose of coming here is for understanding Dharma, and we can talk about what is the opposite of ignorance now. So it's actually still about development of Sampajanya, same Sampajanya.
This is not
just giving more.
This is not an important question, but is it a classification based on sutta or based on Abhidhamma?
Can we see such four-way classification in sutta?
Is there no Abhidhamma in sutta?
There are terms which do not appear, yeah, in sutta, which appear only in Abhidhamma.
Sometimes the terms may just appear in the commentary or the Abhidhamma, but while teaching, the Buddha is teaching about what is suitable for the development of understanding, whether it's just what is suitable to eat or what is suitable to hear, what are the suitable questions or what is the purpose. So actually it's being discussed throughout the suttas, throughout the Vinaya, what is suitable for the monks, not eating after midday because of the distractions and so on, and what is the suitable way of living for monks, not kind of eating noisily and disturbing the other people, and what are the objects of understanding. Throughout the teachings he's talking about what are the objects. So I think it's just a matter of the words, but it's just the same.
I knew the answer. I have one question.
This may be very rude question, but this is a question I always wanted to ask. That is, yeah, as for idol, yeah, whenever you get a question, what visual object is, yeah, somehow your answer is, just sometimes try to come with your own words, but you end up with saying visual object is what appears through eye door. Yeah? It's your regular...
Or to seeing or the seeing process.
Yeah, yeah. It's your regular answer. And you stick to that answer. Yeah? My question is, do you not mind describing what visual object is without using any Abhidhamma terms, your own words?
I think that people take the words of the Buddha, like whether it is Sutta or Abhidhamma or it's Vinaya. But actually, he enlightened the truth of all realities. by way of Vinaya or Sutta or Abhidharma. But all dhammas are anatta, no matter in Vinaya, Sutta or Abhidharma. Or about dhammas. Without dhammas, there wouldn't be anything at all.
Yeah, but understanding of what visual object is not easy.
Okay.
I need your own.
May I taste your cake?
Please.
No?
Okay.
Is it sweet?
It's sort of sweet. It's sweeter than I thought.
Okay, how can I know?
You do not know.
No matter how much you talk about it, how can I know? How can I know? Little sweet, how can I know?
Somehow you can guess, depends on your past experience.
No, not the past, but the present experience. Can know
only that.
Because you can tell me that it is a little sweet, but you remember the taste, but not at the actual moment of tasting it. So you cannot tell the other at all how little sweet it is until that present taste, right?
Different always.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the citta is the faculty of experiencing. No matter it's the very, very soft or very, very strong, only citta is that faculty which know how much or how less or how little. The same as seeing consciousness right now. We don't have to tell anyone at all what is seen, because if that person is blind, that person cannot know at all about visible object or that which is seen. But anyone who sees, no matter you talk about it, but no understanding that it's that which is seen, not more than that.
No, our problem is between seeing,
actual seeing with a loss of thinking.
You know, that's why we have to understand that thinking is not seeing until it's there, because it takes time for Buddha to become enlightened.
Yeah.
So what about us? What about us?
Incredible.
Yeah, so what about us? Just hearing again and again and again and again, and no expectation for the moment when there is a moment of beginning, just beginning, to really understand what actually, without the visible object which is seen, there's no one at all. Because it has to be thinking after seeing about that which is seen. That's all. This is the way to see the difference between seeing and thinking.
Yeah, I know. But my question is, what the visual object of seeing? Right now, it's just
open your
full
eyes.
Full of
it's
things.
There.
Just what is seen now. Actually, Buddha's teachings, we're all experts in seeing and seeing visible object. But the point is, because there's thinking about it and so many ideas so quickly, there's no understanding. But actually, it's just what is seen instantly now. Just what it appears.
It's a visual object. In Thai, visual object is called color. See? And many people confuse see with the visual object, with colors, a mixture of colors.
Yes.
It's very hard to grasp.
So don't say anything, just see it.
How about through the ear door? The object of hearing. Is that clear?
No, for me, the eye door is very difficult.
Your question concerns just the eye door.
When there is sort of a type of awareness through the eye door, what appears through the eye door, it's always accompanied by concepts.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same.
I don't
there is thinking.
Okay. Yeah.
we call it sound, the object of the ear door. But in fact, in practice, there is already thinking without appreciating that what is experienced by ear consciousness is only sound, because we already recognize the voice of the speaker and the meaning of the words spoken. And it's the same for all the doorways. Thinking follows so quickly that there is no understanding of the actual object of the sense door consciousness.
And the thing is, like you said, in Thai,
they'll say color and then a mixture of colors, and they use color and because it's a shorter word, okay, but then they immediately have the idea of mixture or combination of colors. And it's the same in English too, because people would like it to be something, but immediately start thinking about the different colors here or the different colors there, and it's something already. It's impression. It's not just what appears, not just the visible object, just that which is seen. It's already ideas about different impressions, different shapes.
And instead of thinking about whether it is color or that which is seen, just about it's real. It's just a reality. That's all.
Go back to the what you said last year at the foundation, pinpointing a tape recorder. Yeah, this is a rupa, and you said this is a rupa. Why can you not see? Why just a tape recorder can be a rupa?
Because even if seen, it cannot experience anything.
It's
not the tape recorder, because if I say here just what is seen, we think it's a tape recorder or a microphone, but actually it's just that which is seen at that
moment. Yeah.
And it's just a reality. It's so real, that's all.
But the particular tape recorder cannot be a rupa. Is it? Yeah, right?
What do you mean? You are
for example, this microphone, if somebody pointing at this microphone, this is rupa, if somebody said that.
That which is seen.
The idol momentarily, it's a rupa. But if
so very quickly, because it's seen. But after seeing, there's the idea.
You could say that this, that which is seen, can that appear through the ear door?
What appears through the ear door is a rupa.
Well, that appears through the eye door is also rupa.
It's an eye door. It's a rupa.
But visible object cannot appear through the ear door. So that visible object is just visible object.
Yeah.
Or if I would say they are all different realities, they are real, that's all, no one at all. They have their own characteristics, that's all.
No, it's hard to see realities as they are because they are accompanied by thinking.
Ignorance.
Yeah, ignorance. Okay.
What is visible cannot appear through the mind door, except for immediately after the eye door. So as soon as it's an idea of something, it's not what is seen.
Well, it's hard to explain this just this much to those who do not know anything about Dhamma. And whenever I say Dhamma, realities, I'll be totally ignored.
Because you tell them, what about ask them instead?
Or choose a different, slightly different approach.
People often talk about, oh, it's so difficult to explain to the beginner, or it's so difficult to do this. Sometimes on our list people say, oh, it's so difficult to explain this. It's difficult because if there's not enough understanding, for the Buddha, no difficulty to explain. So it depends on the understanding. When there's understanding, it finds a way.
Yeah, I do understand why he hesitated
Dhamma, after his enlightenment, he thought that...
He hesitated to describe
Dhamma to ordinary folks because it's impossible for them to understand such a subtle things. It's hard because it's just table desk and microphone. You say, no, they are just realities.
Can we intellectually accept that the idea of table and chair and microphone is a product of thinking and not of what is being experienced through the idol? So that's a beginning. It doesn't matter whether the understanding is of thinking or of visible object. But certainly I think the more there is understanding of different realities, then the more there will be understanding of those realities that aren't yet understood.
I think this session is so far the best because there aren't many people. Lots of people. I have no chance to ask questions.
Okay.
One question.
Two questions.
Yes,
And they're all very good topics.
So I think that the best way is to understand just the word Dhamma, real or reality. It includes everything, no matter it's seen of that which sees or sound of that which hears, anything which is real, we are talking about what is real. Only that, to see that we don't know about the reality at all until we hear the word of the Buddha, to know that they are just a reality arising and falling away. Believe it or not.
I finished my book, which took me nearly 5 years here, and there I have only two things to say. One is Dhamma, the other one is practice, practice without practice.
And we don't have to classify whether it is the either or either or what, just different realities appearing.